Well, spring is slowly coming to life and flowers will soon be budding, and not far behind, bees will be buzzing. We hope. Since 2006, colony collapse disorder has drastically reduced honeybee populations across North America. And in California, another emerging threat to hives could be straight from a B-grade horror film, a parasite that's turning honeybees into automatons, or as they're being called by some, zombies. I spoke with John Hafernick, professor of biology at San Francisco State University and director of ZombieWatch.org, and asked him to explain exactly what the parasite does to bees.
This is a small fly. It's a fly that's smaller than a fruit fly. Most people wouldn't even notice it. And it's a native fly that normally feeds on bumblebees and yellow jackets, but it's figured out how to feed now on the introduced honeybee, which is one of our most important pollinators, of course. What happens is this small fly will land on the back of a honeybee, use a structure called an ovipositor, it's like a hypodermic needle, to inject eggs into the honeybee. And those eggs start hatching into little maggots on the inside, not very pleasant. And as they start feeding, the honeybee's behavior changes. So instead of its normal behavior of going out and picking up pollen and nectar all day, they wake up in the middle of the night for some reason and leave their hives on what we're calling a flight of the living dead.
Oh.
Because basically, these are dead bees flying that are parasitized, are going to die and not come back. If they're in an area where there are a lot of lights, like most urban areas, they'll get attracted to those lights, a porch light or a street light or something like that, and then they'll fall under the light, sort of circle around in zombie-like fashion, which is one of the reasons they're called zombies, and then die in a short period of time. After about 5 days, the maggots inside of them will have finished up their life cycle. They'll push out through the membrane that's between the head and the rest of the body of the bee, and then push out, crawl off a few inches, and then form little brown pupae that look like brown pills or something like that. And these are like the chrysalis of a butterfly. Inside that pupa, the fly is developing. It will then emerge and start that cycle over again.
Wow. Where has this parasitic fly and the resulting zombies been found so far?
Well, it's first discovered right here on the San Francisco State campus in San Francisco. But most recently, as we started our citizen science website, zombiewatch.org, we've gotten citizen scientists around the country looking for bees acting strangely. And we've gotten new records now from Oregon and also from the Seattle, Washington area.
Wait, so you're deputizing people to become zombie watchers?
Yeah, or zombie hunters, we call them. Yeah.
All right, how do they do it? How does one hunt for a zombie?
Well, you can do it in two ways. One, you can look for bees that are found around lights in the morning or someplace like that, where you usually don't find honeybees. A porch light. If you live next to a neighbor who has a honeybee colony, then turn your porch light on at night and see if any honeybees come to it. Isolate them in a container. It could be a Ziploc bag, could be a Tupperware container. Watch them for 5 to 10 days and see if any of these parasites come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then upload photos to our website. Or if you're a beekeeper, and we'd really like beekeepers to be involved, you can make a simple light trap that you can put out near your hives, trap any honeybees that come out at night, and then isolate them and see if anything comes out.
John Hafernick there, professor of biology at San Francisco State University and director of ZombieWatch.org. You can hear my full interview with John and learn how you can help search for zombies in your area this coming spring and summer. All that at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks for coming along with us on our exploration of many different aspects of the birds and the bees circa 2014. Programs like Word of Mouth blossom and grow and thrive because of your support. Because of you, we make programming for New Hampshire that's original, inventive, entertaining, and hopefully useful.